Vision 7 Radio Network welcomes Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, heard every Monday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Using nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence, quantum physics, consciousness research, and ancient writings, we seek to understand who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. Join Roberta weekly to better understand our one reality and gain insights into how we can make the most of the glorious eternal beings that we are.
Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you can be with us today.
You know, many people seem to think that all the information we're receiving now through mental or spiritual mediums is the best we've ever had, and it's the best we're ever going to get. But the run of mental mediumship now is pale dregs when compared with a heyday of mediumistic communication with the dead, which ended halfway through the 20th century. Humankind entered the 19th century still in the throes of religious dogmas, still thinking that communicating with the dead was the work of the devil. But in the latter half of the 19th century, those that we used to think were dead began a flurry of extraordinary efforts to break through to us with the truth by means of gifted channels, deep trance mediums, physical mediums, in all their variations. If there had been the level of interest in the afterlife 100 years ago that we are experiencing now, the greatest mediums of 100 years ago still would be household names today. Most of the extraordinary gifts that were used by these great physical and deep trance mediums take a lot of time and patience to develop, even if the medium is inherently gifted. By the middle of the 20th century, these skills had all but died out altogether. But just since the start of this century, a few dedicated mediums and their helpers have begun to undertake the extraordinary efforts and the lengthy process necessary for them to develop their basic gifts and become physical mediums, deep trance mediums, even direct voice mediums. I'm following the work of two of them in particular. Of course, one of those working hard now to jumpstart physical and trance mediums in the 21st century is our cherished friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Craig isn't becoming a medium himself, but rather for nearly a decade, he's been managing a development circle in which three very promising mediums are honing what are turning out to be powerful gifts. And the other one whose career in this field excites me is Australian Louise Herman. When I first interviewed Louise a year and a half ago, I thought she was the most spiritually gifted person I ever had encountered. Louise is back today with us to talk about what's new in her life and in her work. Louise, I'm thrilled that you're here. Welcome.
Hello.
Let's talk a little bit about your history because it's fascinating. And some people may not have heard that interview we did a little while ago, 18 months, I think it was.
Yes, I mean, I grew up in a household where mediumship was acceptable. My mother was a gifted medium and she's still alive on this side. So mediumship for me was a natural path and I didn't go through the standard development. Naturally, my gifts had opened up in my late 20s. It accelerated more in my late 20s. Early 30s, I was demonstrating to audiences by my early 30s. And so the traditional path of development for me wasn't standard. I didn't sit in development circles for years. I didn't do individual readings. I was demonstrating to audiences before doing individual readings. And, of course, I still work full-time at the moment. So I demonstrate every Friday night mental mediumship to audiences that have lost their loved ones. And of course, parallel to that, I have also done trance healing. We have a healing group that we meet once a month with, and we send out distant healing to those that send requests as well.
Please tell us a little bit about your first childhood experiences, because, I mean, I've read a little about them and they're really phenomenal. You weren't afraid when you began to hear from people and have all of this going on?
Well, when I was a kid, I probably remember the first profound one was we moved to a house when I was around I believe, around 9 or 10. And I would see the same visitor every night, and she had the same clothes. And after a while, my mum investigated with the neighbours, and she'd passed away in the house. And then not long after that, my brother passed away, and he was missing for a period of time. And so he came back and had communication with me as well. And then throughout my teen years, I was always very in tune and connected to people, and I had a lot of experiences throughout that time. But it wasn't until around my 20s that the spirit world had come forward and had made it quite clear that this is your path. I think with mediumship, Roberta, you need to have maturity. I had a lot of experiences in my childhood. You need to have the maturity to deal with that and the delivery. I believe that probably 90% of mediumship is in the delivery, and you've got to have that maturity for that delivery.
Explain that, Louise. What do you mean by 90% of it is delivery?
Well, I mean, I believe that I have a lot of people that come to my events that are quite frightened today, and I always say to people that there's always a traditional viewpoint that psychics give bad news. And at a young age, I was very much well aware of that, given my mum was a medium and would walk the streets and deliver some great messages to people. There was a lot of negativity around that, and thank God she was so strong that I could see those viewpoints at a young age.
Well, so what you try to do is select what you tell them, and also tell it in such a way that it's not scary. I guess that is really important. I never thought of it that way.
Yes, I think the best way to deliver to anybody that's listening to this today, if you have a profound dream, I believe the spirit world comes to those that have no emotional connection. The best mediums are those. So you may, Roberta, for instance, have a dream of an ex-work colleague's wife that passed away just out of nowhere that comes into this dream, and then you deliver that message and you haven't seen that person for many years. So it can be very confronting when you go and deliver that message to someone, especially if they're highly religious.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness, yes, you can freak them out.
Absolutely.
But you're also a healer, aren't you? How did you discover that gift?
Well, there's always a story. I was actually, there was somebody that came to an audience demonstration that had cancer at the time. And about a week before then, I received some profound messages to take these stones to this audience demonstration. And I handed them out to the audience. And when I handed them out to the audience, there was someone in the audience that had been diagnosed with cancer. And there was a healing had gone through to that person, and that person became a volunteer for a number of years. So healing ability, I believe, is a natural ability that comes with trance and physical mediumship as well. And so even though I was demonstrating mental mediumship, physical and trance mediumship, I believe, carries strong strengths of natural healing ability as well.
Now, many people will probably wonder, how do you heal? I mean, do you feel like a warmth in you? Does it go through your hands? How do you do this healing?
Well, I believe everybody can heal. I believe that I have a healing group, and we sit together and we get a lot of distant healing requests from our audiences so people can put distant healing in. So there's two ways you can really heal. It's simple. First way is you just place your hands near somebody's head area, and, of course, you'll feel the warmth. That's just energy on energy, soul on soul. You're in their auric field. And from that, you can send healing energy to them. Most of the time, I end up in a trance state, so my guides will come through and speak to the person, and most of the time it's not English, so they don't understand anyway. So they come through and speak, and then, of course, you can do distant healing. So distant healing is where you send energy through to somebody else at the soul level. Now, I should actually add to this that healing, we shouldn't look at the individual as a incarnate or a discarnate spirit. So we bypass the physical body. I really don't care if the person's living or not. We bypass the physical body and we connect straight to the soul of that person, the spirit body of that person. And so sometimes you'll feel heat in the hands when you're doing physical healing on a living person in front of you, or you could have the same effect with distant healing. You could visualize someone in your mind and automatically you may feel a pain in the right leg, and you just imagine that area to be open and receiving that healing energy as well.
How often does that work? I mean, do you have any sense of how often you've been able to be successful at this? I'm sure it's not 100%.
Okay, absolutely. I believe there's two major factors here, Roberta. The first one is free will. So the person on the other end that's receiving that healing needs to be open enough to receive that. Even though you're dealing with it energetically at the soul level, there's so many blocks that are going on at the mental and physical level. And secondly, life contract. If the person, I had a friend that just recently passed and he wasn't open to anything in mediumship or healing, but I believe that if the contract, and sometimes I believe a lot of souls evolve, Roberta, through the process of death itself, through that pain.
Yes. So if they're not meant to survive, they don't. But if it's something that would be okay for them to survive in terms of their own, then you can make a difference in their lives.
Absolutely. And I believe there's renegotiation. And I believe when I have done healing, I was at a funeral. Ironically, I was at a funeral of someone and a lady came up to me. I have no recollection of her from 10 years ago. This happened about 18 months ago. And she said, Louise Herman's here. And I said, look, you need to quieten it down. We're at an Italian funeral. And like 400 people were there. And I had to sort of hide because all these Italians were chasing me. And she said that you gave me hands-on healing 10 years ago and I had stage 4 stomach cancer with weeks to live.
Wow. Our guest today is Louise Herman, who is, I think, the most extraordinary person I've ever met. I mean, people try so hard to develop the kinds of gifts this young woman has naturally. And she also has a full-time job, and yet she's able to do demonstrations all over Australia, right? But other parts of the world, too? Do you ever get elsewhere?
I have been over to the UK and the US in the last 10 years. Quite a few trips have gone over there for working with mediumship, but I haven't been internationally in the last couple of years as there's too much work here in Australia.
So, all right, so as far as you're concerned, healing is something you said that anyone can do, and it's something which works with the person's guide, soul contract, what is best for that being. I mean, many people heard you say that you didn't care if the person was living or dead as you healed them, which I think maybe we ought to go back and look at. But I believe you meant that because you're healing them spiritually and psychologically as well, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that as mediums, Roberta, we need to remember that we have lives between lives. So what was I doing for 70 to 100 years before I reincarnated as a medium? I must have been working in between those levels to help those make transition to spirit life. So I believe I have counselling and healing skills in between lives as a medium that I use on the other side. And so we don't limit ourselves. We have all these gifts that we use life between life. And, of course, we send healing energy when we can to those that have recently passed, especially if they're not spiritually aware of the spirit world. So when they immediately pass, they may have been skeptical or they may not be open to receive healing. And so sending it from someone from the earth plane can sometimes be a bit closer to them than somebody that's in the spirit world. You may have a friend that's recently passed that may have taken their life. That's a good example. And if they make transition from the earth plane to the spirit world and you've had contact with them or someone's asked you to make contact with them, when they immediately go into the spirit world, even though they are full-time now in that world and there are counsellors there that can help them, sometimes they like to make communication with someone on the earth plane because that seems to be more familiar to them.
Oh, you make it sound so simple. And it really, I know because of all the other people I've interviewed and known who've tried to do it, I know it's not simple. So I think it's what you're doing. The fact that you can demonstrate all of this is wonderful. Now, we've talked about physical mediumship before on Seek Reality, but I'd love to have you describe it and talk about it a little bit because you're so much more steeped in it, really, than just about anyone.
Okay. In terms of physical mediumship, I've been sitting for physical for 12 years now. So we have a group that sits on Wednesday nights. And this particular group, we chose individuals, or the spirit world chose individuals, that does not have any psychic gifts. And what I mean by that, when we develop the energy of physical, the purpose of it is so that eventually that energy can be seen with the physical eyes and can be heard with the physical ears. So we want people that are in the room that are able to see this energy physically and not see this energy psychically.
Okay, so how many people are in your circle?
Well, it's a smaller group now. We've got down to about four or five of us now. And over the years, it was around six or seven. We haven't been a big group. And the reason for that is we need consistency with the spirit world. So when you're developing this energy, we have had a larger group over the years, but then as people retire, they travel more.
Of course.
And so when you have a life. And so when people are leaving the group for weeks on end, that can cause more disruption than having a bigger power from a bigger group.
Why is that? What's that all about?
Okay. So for us, we decided generally in a physical group, you build the power. So you're building the power of that group. The medium's just the instrument, the front person of the band. So you're building the power within that group to enable the spirit world to build up an energy, which, of course, we do not go in with the viewpoint that we're also going to be using traditional energy, such as ectoplasm. So when we're working with the spirit world, we're going to build that power up within that circle and allow the spirit world to experiment with that power, to utilize an energy and perhaps create an energy that hasn't been created before.
That's a very important point. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. The real experts, the real scientists, the real experimenters are the people we used to think were dead. And what people like Louise and like Craig Hogan and others primarily do is to give them a good stable field and the right kinds of energies in which to do their experimenting, and wonderful things can happen. When you Absolutely. Began this, did you have any sense that you were a physical medium, or you just wanted to try it?
Well, my path's a little bit different to everyone else's, that, of course, I don't go out there looking for anything. There was one of the world's greatest physical mediums, David Thompson, produces ectoplasm in full materialization. His original circle leads came to one of my events and said that they had been guided. They were the ones that started him off, and they had been guided to open their home for me. And so I said I would think about it, I would go back to my spirit team, and then I was already doing trance mediumship at that time, and so I went to their house, and, of course, it accelerated quite quickly. So I believe the spirit world will guide you. If they can see potential in you, they will guide you and bring forward everything that you need to develop that.
All right, so they thought you had potential. They gathered these people to sit weekly in your circle. Is that what you've done?
Yes, we started to sit weekly, and originally we sat in the dark because David's circle leads wanted to sit in the dark. That's their traditional method. And so I pushed to move it into the light. And I look back now, I was ahead of my time. There's people now talking about sitting in light, but we've been sitting in light now for a good 10 years, more than that, 11 years. And I pushed for that, and I'm glad that we did.
Now, for people who don't understand why this is significant, someone who is a physical medium in deep trance will produce something called ectoplasm, which is actually, I guess, part of the body, really, isn't it? It will snap back into the body in light if that medium has been developed in darkness. And most mediums, physical mediums, have developed in darkness. So how has it been different for you in that you are determined to sit in the light? You still produce ectoplasm?
Yeah, well, I don't produce the traditional ectoplasm like David, where it exhumes large amounts from the body. I definitely have had it from the nostrils and the ears and the eyes and the mouth over time, and we've got a couple of samples of that in the last 12 months. And so what I produce at the moment, I would describe it as not a liquid but more of a gas. So we had a funny incident only a couple of weeks ago where I asked those in the physical group to bring some night vision goggles for my nephews, for them for camping. And out of the blue, I said, hey, put these night vision goggles on. And they could see it clearly. And that was only 2 weeks ago. They could see it. It's like a gas, like a fog exhuming from the left ear and building up on the side of me.
Fascinating. How does it feel to produce ectoplasm?
Well, I'm actually in trance most of the time, but it sometimes happens during the day when I'm awake. And for me, or if I'm demonstrating with an audience, sometimes you can feel it building up. And for me, at first, I felt quite nauseous. If I was conscious, it feels like the best way to describe it is like a cold torch, like a nitrous oxide or something being placed up the nostril, up the nose. That's the best way to describe it. Very cold, a little bit painful. And for me, I feel nauseous, but that nauseous feeling has reduced over the years if I am conscious.
Oh my goodness. And so you can produce it when you're aware of what's going on.
Absolutely.
Do you sit in a cabinet, Louise? Is that what you do, that part of it?
No, I don't sit in a cabinet.
You don't? It's like you break every rule and you still can do it.
We did have a cabinet, one of those camping toilet shower pop-up cabinets.
Really? That's what you use?
We had one of those for a while, but no, I don't sit in a cabinet. I basically had the thought 10 years ago, look, if I'm out there in the public demonstrating mental mediumship, we can't sit behind closed doors and provide physical mediumship to a small group of 20 people. That doesn't change the world. That doesn't change the world.
Now, everyone, physical mediumship is a specific old kind of mediumship of which there is very little now, but it used to be much more common because people had more time to sort of sit in the dark and develop it. And most of it is done in the dark. What Louise and a very few other pioneers are doing, she's been doing it for 10 years, others are, I think, more recent, are trying to come up with a way to develop, to show the same phenomena in the light. What are those phenomena? It's that people will materialize in the ectoplasm. Somebody's child, who is really that child, will suddenly be there in the ectoplasm, go and hug mom. The pet will jump into the lap. There are so many phenomena that have been that I've witnessed in a physical mediumship seance that are so extraordinary, but nobody believes them because they're in the dark. And so Louise says, we'll have none of that. And she is taking the time and the energy and the effort to learn to do it in the light. And I'm amazed that your body is adapting to what's necessary to produce ectoplasm in the light. I think that's wonderful.
Yes, I think that, and also just to add to that, Roberta, with ectoplasm, I don't believe it's going to be ectoplasm eventually.
What will it be?
It'll just be an energy.
So, but will it be able to cloak the spirit so that the spirit will have a body or body?
I believe it will be a hologram.
A hologram would be great. Why do you think that could happen?
Because we've experienced that in our own group. At the moment, yes, of course, they're using ectoplasm in the form of like a gas, not a liquid. And, of course, ectoplasm can become solid as well. And I believe that it's going to be energy. It'll move from gas to just an energy form. And I believe that we will see people in the future in the form of a hologram and not in the traditional form of solidness that ectoplasm has taken in the past.
And that brings up another point, too. It's important, everyone, to understand that what's going on in the greater reality is developing. I mean, they have things now there, the technological things even, that they didn't have before. Things are developing there, sort of in sync with the Earth. So it's not unreasonable when we've developed the ability to do holograms here, that they would develop the ability to do them in physical mediumship seances. I just think it's amazing you think that's something right on the horizon.
Absolutely. And probably just to add to that, Roberta, using the word seance, I just want to clarify that. Seance is just a Latin word meaning sitting. So us using even that word today frightens people off.
That's true. It does, doesn't it? It makes people think it's woo-woo when actually it's a perfectly explainable, natural phenomenon that gifted mediums can learn to do. So from now on, we'll call them what? Just circles?
Circles or sittings. And I believe the traditional circle of physical mediumship will change. I'm seeing things happen in mental mediumship audiences. So are the sitters that are sitting in the audiences part of that sitting circle?
Oh, that's wonderful. So and that would energize it, right? The more people, the more energy.
Absolutely. I think that the way we view physical mediumship, we've always compartmentalized mediumship. You're either a trance medium, a physical medium, a healing medium, mental medium. And I'm finding that the spectrum of the energy can work from one end to the other, from active to passive.
Now, which, speaking of which, you're also developing as a direct voice medium, right?
Well, part of that physical group, we have had instances where we will have voices randomly come about within the room, or they will project those voices onto audio. And so that particular direct voice mediumship gift, I believe, will develop naturally and has most definitely developed naturally. And it usually occurs unexpectedly, and we've noticed when there's a great amount of need and love that's in the room as well.
Wow. If anyone's interested and curious about direct voice mediumship, just Google Leslie Flint and listen to some of the recordings that were done. His body would produce ectoplasm, which would become a voice box, which the being would customize to be able to produce his or her own voice while alive. And the voices are amazing. Some of them are historic people that whose voices you would know, and they do sound like themselves, which is amazing when you think about it, because these people are talking, if they first had to customize this voice box to sound like the way they remembered they would sound.
And it's so much hard work.
Yeah, it is. So is there a voice box that produces the voices that you've heard when you were sitting, or is there another phenomenon? The voices just appear?
They don't need a full voice box. They only need a larynx. So we find that around the neck area, to the side of the neck area, some of the group have seen a build-up of energy come from that particular area. And then, of course, voices will occur either above the head of the medium, or we've had instances where the person sitting in the circle will hear the voice very close to them. So that's where the voice is starting to move through what they call energetic rods, where the voice box that is then able to move about the room. But again, I do believe my gut feeling on all this is going to change. I believe that energy, there'll be energetic rods that won't be in the normal form that we see and experience through physical mediumship. I believe that the bond between both worlds is getting closer and closer, that it will just be energy that moves about the room through direct voice. But we've definitely, all the instances change all the time, and we also go through periods where we get nothing.
Where do you think it's going? If 5 years from now we're having this conversation, will you be doing much more in terms of physical mediumship? Or because I agree with you that the veil is thinning.
Well, I believe, Roberta, I don't really care if it's me or not. I'll continue to sit for physical mediumship for the rest of my life. But there may be someone that's 15 years of age, more gifted than me, that's going to be in the US or in England, and I'm part of the experimentation with the chemists that are on the other side to produce the new energy. So it doesn't need to be me necessarily, and I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. And so what we're doing is we're just allowing the spirit world to have a platform to experiment and to work with that energy. And that's probably where I'm saying in the next 5 years, anything is possible. The more willing we are to go into this without old traditional viewpoints and belief systems.
I love it. And don't you feel it's happening rapidly? Don't you have that sense?
Absolutely. I think that, but I also think the consciousness needs to be ready for it as well. I think that we can have the greatest amount of energy that comes in from the spirit world, but the consciousness needs to be ready for that as well. And what I mean by that is that often there's a lot of focus at the moment on the spirit world and how we can be closer to them and what they can teach us. But I think, Roberta, there is so much we can learn from the living and from each other on this side through service and raising that vibration that allows it to be easier for the other side to make that bond instead of us waiting passively for them to come and connect with us.
We're partners in this, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we can't sit passively and ask the spirit world to come and meet us. We need to meet them halfway. And that can only be done by raising the frequency of the earth plane. And that can only be done through awareness, through the raising of consciousness, through service.
Everyone, I'm going to be talking about this in 2 weeks. I'm going to be talking about growing spiritually because a lot of people have no idea what it is or how to do it and how it feels. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. This is an area where suddenly I know a lot more than I did before because I've been experimenting with myself. But now the point of this to you really is service, right?
Absolutely. Well, I always say that mediumship is just a byproduct of the vibration. And what I mean by that is that all of this, I don't get caught up in the phenomena of physical mediumship. Or I had an instance on Friday night where I was reading a newspaper in my mind to someone in the audience. I said, the year's 1943. And the person looked at me and I said, this person was born. And I said, I have the date of the 7th of August. She said, wow, that's my mum's birthday. And so I went into this newspaper in my mind, into the detail, and the lady came up afterwards and said, I couldn't believe that you got that date for my mum. And I said, it's not the phenomena or it's not the gift. It's the healing that comes from that. That evidence was required for you to get that healing. So I believe that service and healing is absolutely everything, Roberta. All the gifts that you wish to develop in your life will come naturally if your vibration is of service.
That is about one of the most profound things I've ever heard. So I think it's important that we talk about that a little more because so many people, and even people I would think would be fairly advanced spiritually, it becomes all about themselves and all about how they're going to be able to be maybe famous or important or something. And one of the things that astonishes me, frankly, about Louise Herman is that she truly means what she says. She's devoting her life to helping people better understand the truth.
Absolutely. I always say that when we're working for the spirit world, we need to be coming from the place of service. And I also believe that there is so much out there in the spiritual realms at the moment in teaching where people want to develop their own individual skills. And so I encourage in all of my workshops are spiritual development workshops. And even though there is such a high demand for psychic and mediumship courses, I only run one of those a year because I truly believe that we need to be working on our own vibration and our awareness of the living needs to come before any awareness of the other side.
But won't it be amazing? I mean, so let's say it's 5 or 10 years from now, you've developed the ability to do this reliably in light, and you or it could be someone else, as you say, it doesn't matter. We are all one being, essentially. So, but what a difference it's going to make to the world when there's light in the room and all these phenomena are happening.
Absolutely. I mean, anything is possible. Anything is possible, Roberta. Those from the other side can come and do lectures. That's how I see it.
That'd be great. Jesus will come and tell you what he really meant. What a good idea that is, Louise.
Spirit University.
Right. I mean, we're really living in the dark ages still, but we have awareness now that the light is coming, and each of us has a part to play in making that light dawn in the world. That's one of the things that you've been saying, and I think it's very, very important because we know that each person who raises his or her vibration and turns to service is affecting every other person on earth. If enough people are doing that, then we raise the vibration of everybody on earth because we are all connected. We're all one being. And that's why what Louise is doing is so important to all of us, even if we're not into a particular phenomena, because she has a great deal to raise the spiritual vibration of the planet. And that's there's no way we can thank you enough for that.
Once we have that realization from the spirit world, then people will understand karma as well and the laws of cause and effect. So once we understand those laws, we then think about our actions upon our fellow human beings, especially when we know that we can continue on and we take those actions with us as well.
So it's your belief that once we are in close contact that way, all of the details of what's really going on will be a lot easier for people to assimilate and understand.
Absolutely.
Very exciting. Where do you think it's going next?
I believe that the spirit world will expand their energy more into psychic surgery and healing.
Wow.
I believe we may see down the track instances of where you know, healers will be visiting hospitals, and there will be psychic surgery. We're going to see more of that, I believe, in the future, using that energy, because that will also bring in the medical industry as well. And I believe it's endless. I believe we need to just allow, we need to give the energy to the spirit world and build that power up and allow them. They see things at 100,000 feet. So we need to allow them to utilize that energy. And I believe this is my belief system. I believe there's lots of things in the laboratory on the other side. They just don't have the power to bring that forward yet.
So you do demonstrations almost every weekend.
I do every Friday night, about 60 events a year. We've done a bit over 700 now. And so the audience demonstrations, out of the 2 hours, an hour and a half of that is mental mediumship, connecting with loved ones. But then we also do inspirational speech, which is philosophy. So I always give the big picture, because the audiences don't want to hear philosophy at the beginning. They want to see evidence first that you're connecting with the spirit world. And once you produce that evidence, then they're open to listen to the channeled words that Team Spirit have given for the evening. And then we utilize that further by going into meditation, allowing them to send energy to themselves or to those that are in spirit or living people as well. So the audiences are not just for mental mediumship. It's raising that vibration as well, at a larger consciousness level.
What's your website? Do you have one?
Yes, I do. It's louiseherman.com with a double N on Herman.
And if you're going to be in Australia, I strongly urge you to have this experience for yourself and meet Louise. Because she does this so often, it won't be hard to find a place where you can go and see her some Friday night. And I think it'll be life-changing for you. So I hope more people will want to do that. We've come to the end of our time together. So what I'm hoping that we can do is just plan to do this again, dear, because I want to know what's going on as these things change. And I think most people will feel the same way. And I have a friend I want to bring to you who needs healing. I would myself would like to talk to you about some of these things. It's very compelling. You're a very compelling young woman, and I'm so glad that you're my friend. This is wonderful.
Yes, definitely, Roberta. I'd like to speak to you personally offline.
I am so glad you could join us today. And do look up our previous interview. I found it stunning. Louise Herman.
Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, never forgetting, always knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.